What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett with Amy Zander. And Amy, how are you today? Let's start with that.
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have had in our past, in our podcast, lots and lots and lots of tidbits that are thrown out for the audience to consume and, you know, try out and, you know, listen to and learn. But we've never really put together a full-blown list until today. So what we're going to talk about today is a list of branding mistakes that we think that all companies need to avoid.
Ooh.
It's not going to be a super comprehensive, massive list, but there are a lot of big ideas. And pay attention to today, because I think the list is a really great example of mistakes that are so common that people don't even see them as mistakes, right? You know, so the business owners, I don't think, are sensitive enough to these things. So do pay close attention. So Amy, why don't you start us off? What, in your experience, is the number one biggest mistake made by any organization?
Ooh, I'm so glad you let me go first. This is a this is a slam dunk, like no brainer, easy one to answer. It's consistency, or maybe more to the point, a lack of consistency with your brand. So, you know, this applies to just about everything you do in your brand, but it especially rings true when you look at how you create your identity. So remember, your identity, not your brand, is your logo, tagline, fonts, colors, images, slogans, things like that. Anything where you are recognized as a company. So, so I think the most common mistakes are made when companies have different designers creating pieces for them, and, you know, they haven't really clearly defined to the different creators and people that are making these things what their standards are. So, but there's a super easy fix for that. That's just to create a style guide. So everybody's on the same page and you know what your logo is, what the rules are about your logo, that kind of stuff.
That's funny when you said, you know, most common is when you don't have different designers and they haven't defined for both of them what the standards are. And I thought, well, unless they create a style guide. I was being snarky in my head.
Right. So. Right. Exactly. Cause that's what, you know, most companies should have. So, this idea of consistency, however, it applies to everything else you do for your brand. And when we say everything, we really, really mean everything. Is your word usage consistent? Of course, I'm going to bring up the words, the tone and the voice of your messaging, how you interact with customers, how you answer the phone, your social media posts, things like that. I always love, you always mention when we have a new client or we're talking to people about brand, you always talk about like, well, how do you answer your phone? I always like that because they're like, hello.
Hello.
Yeah. But just everything you do should be consistent. So what would you add, Kevin?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get this one out of the way because I, you know, you're the word girl. I'm the pixel pusher, right? So I would say poor image selection is a big mistake. Big mistake. Well, you know, you took the easy, the slam dunk, so I'm going to take the cherry picking, right? So what I'm really talking about here, it is definitely a consistency issue, just like you talked about, but more to the point, I think it's more of picking the wrong images, that they think about the message more than the brand. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're a lover archetype and you're drawn to an image where, let's say there's two people who are interacting with each other. You might think to yourself, well, because we want to convey a sense of good customer service, this is good. Yeah, I know, right? Because you can actually picture your clients actually doing this, right?
Right.
everybody does this. Yeah. This is not to disparage any one client.
It's like, you know? Two generic people shaking hands. Right.
So this image, although it might be good for this one piece and it might be conveying the image of customer service, it would be a terrible pick for a lover brand because there's just no energy. Remember, the lover brand is all about passion and this, you know, in this intense love or intense romance or intense, you know, desire for something in your life. But it's, you know, it's all about passion and energy, right?
Yeah.
So two people sitting there, not so much. So it won't convey the passion and excitement and the intensity. It's just wrong. It's just wrong, right? So a less obvious mistake, same kind of theme, is not having images at all. Remember, your brand is a visual beast. You are constantly trying to tell a story. Storytelling is hugely, hugely important. And storytelling is not just the words. So nothing tells the story easier and more soundly than having the right visuals, both static images and videos. If you pick the right visuals, your story will come to life. Eliminate the visuals and your content just becomes gray text. That's, you know, not really attractive. It's not, doesn't hook anybody, doesn't draw anybody in, and they just want to skip it.
Well, yeah, you want to be the scroll stopper, right? People are scrolling through their social media feeds and they see an image. You want them to stop on your image because it grabbed them. I've even noticed, it's very interesting. Do you watch Hulu? Do you watch?
Of course.
Yeah. So we have a paid subscription to Hulu, but we still get a lot of commercials. And I have noticed, so you know, mm-hmm. the story reels concept on Instagram where you have several pictures in a row that are telling a story, right? So when right. I've noticed on Hulu lately where you're watching a show and you have, like, you know, so many breaks throughout the show where you have ads, there mm-hmm. a lot of ads are starting to do that same concept where the first ad you'll see is the first part of the story. And then you'll see more of your show. Then there'll be an ad break and you'll see an ad for the same company with the second part of the story. And by the time you get through the show, you've watched the whole story of the ad as well.
And that is super genius. Yeah. I have not seen it, noticed it, heard about it. I'm absolutely going to start looking
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, and there's one, there's a medication, and it's really funny because my whole family laughs about it because even though we've seen the story several times, we still have no idea what ailment the medication fixes. It doesn't really tell you.
A little bit of a problem.
But yeah. I've noticed they've totally tried to replicate that Instagram story reels thing because they even put stickers up on the ad and it shows the lady on her phone. So it's a really, really cool storytelling concept. They just missed the – I really have no idea what the medication's for. But anyway, so yeah.
That's really interesting. It was a great story, well, but I have no idea what it was about. Right.
I mean, it's helping her live her life better some way.
Right. They had an awesome visit to the Grand Canyon last summer, but right. I'm not sure exactly what medications are.
Right, but I think if you really adopt those reels and Facebook stories and things like that, that really kind of forces you to think harder about your story and your messaging because of those certain platforms. So,
interesting.
Yeah, back to that story.
Look for those now.
Yeah,
Hulu, I think, is the last holdout of platforms that I'm doing any kind of video viewing where it has lots of commercials right. consistently still.
Right.
So,
yeah. But okay. Well, okay. So you talked about the visuals, and we went on that little tangent. So of course I'm gonna come back to the words, right? Words related tip. I think a big mistake that people often make is with their tagline. So there's a few mistakes people usually make with a tagline. So I'm gonna go through them in order. The first big mistake is not having a tagline. So yeah. So what's your tagline?
What do you think? I think you know. I'm gonna say small clients, like small and micro clients. 80% don't have a tagline.
Right.
Bigger clients, medium to large, right. you know, larger corporations,
a third to a half.
Right. I love coming up with taglines for my clients. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I think it's because it's like you don't, it should be really short and sweet, you know, only a few syllables and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And so it's just like, it's just a challenge to get those perfect words.
And just for the listeners, if you do not know the difference between a slogan and a tagline, there is a podcast way, way back.
One of our first ones.
It was July of 2019 called Taglines and Slogans. Oh. So make sure you go back and listen to that.
Yep, there is a difference. So so what's the tagline for your company?
For mine?
Yeah.
For Flock Marketing.
Yeah.
Take flight.
Take flight. Mine is...
And we are a jester brand, so it's all about tagline. Oh, yeah, take off and have excitement.
Right.
It's exciting and fun.
Like
and
chasing seagulls on the beach and watching them scatter.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So for ZD Media, mine is words matter. You know, I've said that before. Mm-hmm. Short and sweet. So it's like Nike, right? Just do it. Nike's heroic tagline, they're the hero brand. It has nothing to do with shoes or their products or anything like that. But right. everybody pretty much knows, you know, Nike's tagline, right? And the second part that's kind of related is so if you have a tagline, it should be very memorable, which goes back to short and sweet, you know, catchy, that kind of thing, something that people can remember. Yeah, if you have one that's clunky and too long, things like that, people just really aren't going to remember it. And so, like, if you ask one of your employees or a client or a friend of yours, be like, what's our tagline? If they can't remember your tagline, even if you have one, it's probably not a good tagline, right? So that's a good litmus test there.
Yeah, so I'm going to divulge a little secret here. It's one of the questions that I very commonly ask a new client, not in the first meeting, but usually within the first half dozen meetings or so, I'll ask them, so what's your tagline again? And I'll just, you know, feign that I don't know it. All I'm doing is I want to see how well they know their own brand. And it astounds me at how often, at the very least, there's a pause. It's not a knee jerk, you know, shoot from the hip, you know, take flight. I think it's something about leading edge, cutting edge, something. I don't remember.
Right.
Like, oh,
right.
You just stabbed me in the heart.
Right. I have, like, words matter all over everything that I do. And I'm in a couple different networking groups. And I'm kind of a smart ass. And I like to, you know, say puns and plays on words, things like that. Words matter to me, right? And in one of my networking groups, we meet weekly, and I'm the quote master. So we end every meeting with a quote. And I you know, they should be like inspirational and about business and industry. And I'm always like
Marks.
Well, yeah, like this week, yeah. This week I was Chevy like, Chase. Whatever you do in business, give 100% unless you're donating blood. That was right. But
it's even right.
Right. But my point is that everybody always says, words matter, Amy. Like, I can walk into a networking room and people will shout that at me. Words matter, Amy. Right. Because they just know me by that. It's so awesome. I love it. So, yeah, so that should.
Awesome. To hear.
Yeah. Well, that should be what your tagline is doing for you. And then again, we touched on this a little bit, but the last tip I have here is just understanding the difference between a tagline and slogan. And again, if you're confused about that, you can go back to our podcast. But real quick, taglines are short, tight, easy to remember blurbs that have like more to do with the brand than the company product or service. And then a slogan can be longer and generally have more information about the company, product, services. They're less brand oriented. Some companies will change their slogans periodically, like Coca-Cola does that, right? They change their slogan mm-hmm. every now and then. Taglines typically don't change once you lock in a really good one.
Right.
So yeah,
and Coca-Cola is a very special case.
It is, and we talk about that in that podcast. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a great way for people to really truly understand this difference between the two, or how we define the difference between the two, because there's a lot of agencies completely flip-flop
right.
what we just said.
Yeah.
They call a slogan a tagline. So
right.
that doesn't matter as long as you understand what we're talking
right.
about. So if you pull out a major magazine like Forbes or Money or, you know, Field and Stream,
yeah.
Entrepreneur, you pull up a magazine and pull up a full page ad. 99% of the time, there's something going on the page, some picture of people or whatever, right? And then there's big text in a full sentence or, you know, 8, 10, 12 words. It's saying something, right? And then down in the bottom is the company logo and, you know, other information, right? Mm-hmm. The slogan is the big text on the ad. And the tagline that's sitting down right next to the logo is the tagline.
Right.
It's hardly ever switched.
Yeah. Another good way to think about it is your tagline should be hashtagable, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a slogan is like this long thing that you would not hashtag.
Right. And people who write taglines say, hey, we got a new tagline for a company. And then, you know, 8 minutes later, they're still reading it. Right. It's like, no, that's not really a tagline. Yeah. The fact that you have to think about what your tagline is and work through what the exact words are. Yeah, that's a slogan.
Right.
That's not a tagline.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a mission statement.
Yeah, definitely memorable. Okay, so here's a super duper duper big mistake in brand management. Not creating a brand infused corporate culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these two things they need to be intermingled, the brand and the corporate culture, and they are dependent on each other, and they're strongest when you build them up in parallel.
Absolutely.
Right. So yeah. Have you talked to business owners where you ask them, you know, what's their brand strategy? Of course you have. And their answer is, well, we don't really have one, or we used to do that, but that, you know, right. Blah, blah, blah. Right. Do the exact same thing. Ask them, what's your corporate culture?
Absolutely.
You're going to get more often you're going to get an answer. But again, it's shocking how few people have thought about that idea strategically. And how few companies actually take action to build their corporate culture. Right. So one fix is to make sure that you train all of your employees about your brand, right? And new employees. You have to train them about their brand strategy, you know, what they should expect in the corporate culture, right? If you don't train people, then they don't know right up front, day one. So having no training is a surefire way to let inconsistency seep into your brain.
Right.
Having no training, right? As a concept, corporate culture, I think it's very similar to branding in that most organizations have no strategy and it just kind of happens to them, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, it's often, right? Just kind of determined by the leader or the owner or how things originally started happening. But you're right, they haven't put a lot of thought into it. They haven't defined it.
Right. Yeah, it's more of an outcome.
Right.
They didn't have any really
input.
Right,
that's a good way to say that, yeah.
Right. So wouldn't it be better if a company were to build up the brand strategically instead of letting it just happen randomly? Wouldn't it be better if their corporate culture was built the same way?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's better to build the corporate culture strategically and not let it happen randomly, of course, but better yet, it doesn't make sense to have these two ideas. So these two super important ideas that should be done hand in glove, hand in hand. They're made for each other. So why are they not built that way?
Right. And I think too, like if your corporate culture is drastically different from the new brand concept you're trying to adopt, it's going to be really hard. Right.
Yep. Like, that's absolutely. Well, again, usually, sadly, when you realize that you have a problem, it's because you've gone many months or years of having your corporate culture sour, start to fester, you know, crawl into a dark
fester.
Back room.
It's a good word.
Right? It's just not good. And then you realize, huh, people are ready to, you know, have a mutiny on me here.
Right.
What's going on?
Right.
Maybe we should have some more potlucks.
Right. Something.
Yeah, that's not going to do
right.
it.
Or okay. A team building exercise.
Team building,
ropes course.
catch me.
Right. How much do you trust me? Not at all.
That's right. Okay, so this idea of a brand-infused corporate culture is so important. I don't know, Amy, if you want me to even say anything at all. Amy and I have started talking about a new book or a workbook or a training program or something like that with the idea of how to going through the process of growing and nurturing a brand-infused corporate culture. So hope I didn't overstep.
No, it's okay. But we need to get our other book out there first, but it's coming. It's coming. So
what other book?
I know, right? We've been talking about this so long, but we promise we're not lying to you. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's really funny. Like, I've really, when I interview new employees or even like contractors and people that I'm going to work with, because I do a lot of, you know, collaboration with people, when I'm interviewing them or talking about whether we're a good fit, I just, from the very start, lay out what my brand is. And I usually say to them, how good are you at mind reading? And they're like, what? And I'm like, okay, well, like, here's how I work. And I tell them, I'm like, I am a big idea kind of person. And I'm really good at delegating. I do not micromanage. But the problem is that I love to throw like vague ideas out there and let people run with them. So you have to kind of be able to read my mind, or at least be comfortable with saying, you did not give me enough information. I need a little bit more to go on.
And then you say, so how does that make you feel?
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So like being the outlaw, I'm just like letting everybody kind of do their own, you know, thing. And my right-hand woman, Melissa, laughed so hard when I interviewed her and I hired her, because, and she actually is really good at reading my mind. She's fantastic. Oh, so
if you're not married to one of those, then you gotta have a business associate. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She's my work wife. That's right. For sure. Yeah. So,
okay. So what else do you got?
Okay. So the other thing is that you don't want to let your brand get stale. I mean, we can all get like bored with things, or sometimes be too close to your brand. Like, that happens to me sometimes when I've been working really hard with a client or working long term with a client. And, you know, I'll have to take a step back and bring some team members on and get some fresh eyes on it and get some, you know, like new ideas within the brand. That's important to do. Mm-hmm. You need to let your brand evolve as needed. But you don't want to, you know, you don't want to let it get stale. And you also have to kind of keep up with some brand, like trends, marketing trends, kind of like what we were talking earlier about, like the Instagram reels. So mm-hmm. I was just gonna tell a quick story. There was this, this Russian like pop star, and she wanted to come into become more popular in America. And mm-hmm. I've noticed that there's this big trend lately of either like personal brands or brands where the owner of the company is like out in front and center, and they're doing a lot of pictures of a person, right? Like the owner of the business or the personal brand person is just pictures of them, like close-up pictures, and they're usually very attractive people. They're all made up and look, have nice clothes on, whatever, but the pictures themselves aren't that interesting. I don't want to see a picture of the same person just over and over and over again in different outfits. It's just, it tends to be boring. And that's a trend I've been seeing lately. And I'm like, why are people doing this? So she was really, this pop star was really popular in Russia, and that was her jam. Like, she was just, her pictures, she's beautiful, you know, pictures of herself. But when she...
And her Instagram feed before that was filled with selfies in bathroom mirrors.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sure, right, yeah. Right. So when she came to America, nobody really knew who she was. And she didn't understand that same tactic wasn't really going to work until people understood who she was. She's just another pretty face. And so this woman, her and I were talking about this kind of strategy. She was working on her, she's hired to work on her social media. And she's like, well, you know, like, you're really into dogs. Let's show pictures of your dogs and other dogs and the dog, you know, organizations that you help and all this other stuff. And the woman was like, no, if I'm not in the picture, it doesn't go on my social media feed. And it just didn't really work for her because she wasn't understanding the shift in the trend. And so that kind of goes back to my whole point in a roundabout way about, don't let your brand get stale. Don't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. People will get tired of seeing it.
But as you're saying, the words evolve and, you know, change over time. I've got this kind of scritchy feeling like there's something bad coming here, because the number of times I've seen people just wholesale swap out everything. It's like, oh, we're going to update our brand this month.
Right.
And what they mean by that is change everything because they're bored with it.
Right. Like Rite Aid did. We had that podcast about Rite Aid, and they drastically changed their logo. I mean, it doesn't even look anything like their original logo. But I mean, you were talking earlier like that UPS was an example that did it kind of right, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a great example. Yeah. So that was what, 2002, 2003, something like that. Yeah, it was the logo. It was, you know, the little bow tie string and stuff. It was, it had kind of a dated feel to it. And instead of just wholesale swapping it out, they just spruced it up. They made it a little more contemporary, put a little swoosh, a little reflective glassiness to it. And at the time, that was like really, really edgy stuff. And it still holds up today. I think the biggest on this one point of, you know, having stale stuff in your brand, it's really easy for font faces to go stale. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, how many logos have you seen with like little chunky balloon puffy fonts from the 70s?
Comic Sans.
Comic Sans. So, you know, it's okay to pick classical, traditional, you know, straight up font faces for the sake of longevity. You can still pick ones that fit within the emotion of your brand archetype, but you be really careful about font faces that will get dated quickly, because I think that's the element of a brand, the identity element,
right?
That goes stale the fastest, right. And you don't want to get stuck 10 years from now having to completely revamp everything just because, not just because you're bored with it, but because it actually did go stale.
So. Right, and I mean, I'm always astounded by how many fonts there are out there. Like, it's insane. So you should.
Well, I as a designer, I'm pretty picky, yeah. And I probably have, I'm gonna say, I don't know, maybe 6,000 or 7,000 fonts, and you know, I probably rest on 300 or 400 that I use regularly.
Right.
My sister-in-law, who is also a very skilled graphic designer, print designer, she has a separate multiple terabyte drive that's just her fonts.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that is a lot of fonts.
Right.
Yeah, when you have to have software that helps you manage and search for and sort your fonts, that's a big deal.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
So.
So what else you got?
Okay, so... If you've been using, let's go back to, you know, our whole concept of visuals. Mm-hmm. If you've been using the same old visuals in your marketing over the course of years, you know, think of Jeff Foxworthy. There's your sign.
Right.
If the models yeah. in your marketing are wearing gold chains and Zodiac pendants and
there's your
sign. Right. Okay, so let me play devil's advocate here. If you have strategically picked a Zodiac pendant that, you know, your models are wearing them with the open satin shirts, and you've done this for a specific marketing. I know the visual is just there. It's just so 70s. Right. It's right there, right? But you've picked it for a marketing piece because you're a jester archetype, and that's your hook, then that might be okay. But is it, you know, if you've got the big open collar with the paisley print satin shirt, you know, and it's not part of a strategic idea, maybe you need to rethink things.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, this next one that I have is from Brand Guru. Have you ever heard of Al Reese and his daughter, Laura Reese? Laura's still around, I haven't heard a lot from her in the last 5 or 7 years, 10 years or so. But her dad, Al, is like a long time veteran in the trenches, brand strategist. Wrote some of the early works of brand strategy and is kind of a pioneer of most of the ideas that we talk about. Years later, when he brought Laura into the fold and started taking over the empire, she had a couple of really well-crafted blog posts and had this kind of this year-long, two-year-long stint about brand extensions. So first, let me define what a brand extension is. So think about if you had a product, right, and you want to expand your product line, right, adding a new product to your product line. That's a brand extension, right? Or for your company, you add on a new service, right? Like search engine optimization or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or you could sliver off new corporate divisions, or you could buy new companies, or you could expand into new markets. All of these things are brand extensions, because what is required of you now is your brand has to cover more territory. It has to cover more ideas. It has to envelop and include all of these new ideas and companies and things, right? And so there's nothing inherently wrong with any of these things. You know, expanding your product line makes sense. You know, trying to find new service offerings, that makes sense, right? But as obvious as that might be, with each of these steps, the brand has to do double duty without losing its effectiveness. And that's really the key there. So if you do it once or twice, that's not a problem. Do it 50 times, you're going to probably find that your brand strategy starts to fall apart at the seams, right? Right in front of you, it's not working the way it used to. Why? Because you've overextended yourself, right? So as an example of this, all you have to do is pull up, Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson. So can you name just one of their divisions?
What about like Virgin Airlines?
That is one of them. Absolutely. It's probably the one that almost everybody will come up with, right? But did you also know that there are Virgin Records? Did you know that?
Yes.
Say yes?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Everybody knows that one too, right? Right? Virgin Comics, Virgin Radio, Virgin Megastore, Virgin Holidays, Virgin Casino, Virgin Games, Virgin Drinks, Virgin Media, Virgin Money, Virgin Life Care, Virgin Coffee, and even Virgin Wines.
That's a lot of virgins.
That's a lot of virgins. Right? I think I'm supposed to meet them all in heaven.
Right, something.
So, and I don't even think that's even close to a full list.
Right.
But that's crazy to think that you're trying to, within one wrapper brand strategy, trying to do coffee and comics and airlines all at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. So if you'd like to try to keep power and consistency, and there's the key is power, right? While you're trying to manage your brand, just be careful not to do this. It's kind of like a death of a thousand cuts. The next one's not going to kill you, but eventually you really start to feel the pain that is caused. In fact, I just came up with that off the cuff, and I thought, wow, that's a really good analogy. It is a death of a thousand cuts.
Right. Well, and I think we had an episode too where we talked about like parent companies and child brands and things like that. So like if you have a
brand architecture,
brand architecture. If you have a brand or a product or a service that's a part of what you're doing, you're an add-on. It can have its own brand identity. That happens all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it easier. I'm sure that the idea that Virgin has is, well, if we put our logo out there, and remember that their logo has that painterly bright red kind of edgy raw quality to it, if we put that out there more often than not, you know, the more we put it out there, the more it will be recognized. I'm sure that's what they're thinking. But okay, so what else do you have?
So I think like last tip is, you know, maybe just talking about like making brand mistakes, and that is in itself a mistake. So the best brands in the world stay really true to their strategy darn near 100% of the time. And even small, subtle mistakes can find their way into your process. So it's just rabidly paying attention to your brand, seeking out those mistakes, shooting them down and fixing the process so that allows you to find them in the first place and eliminate them. And, you know, this takes commitment and dedication. It's definitely time consuming for sure. But as we know, and as we talk to our clients, it's a lot easier to put in the time to keep a strong brand than it is to fix a broken brand. So I'm going to say that again.
Yeah, because I wasn't paying attention. So,
go ahead. Hey, pay attention. All right, listen.
Okay.
It's a lot easier to put in the time to keep a strong brand than it is to fix a broken brand.
Hear, hear. Right? I heard it that time. Yeah. And yes, absolutely, absolutely true. Okay, so here's kind of some input. Without exception, I cannot think about, and that's what I was actually thinking about, because you were talking about companies who make mistakes and don't make mistakes. And I started thinking, what of all the companies that I've ever encountered, and especially my own clients, how many of them never make a mistake? Like, we always use Nike as an example of a brand that never makes mistakes. Truly, I don't think I have ever seen a brand mistake by Nike ever. Ever. Not once. And there's not many companies who can say that. So I totally agree with your whole idea of not making mistakes. The question that I would ask you is, do you know of anybody, do you think that there is a direct correlation with the percentage of mistakes, or how often a company makes a mistake, and their actual brand success? Like, if I catch a company where they went a little off brand, a little, you know, their messaging or their tone or something, their words they picked, or their you know, a bad image or video in one commercial, that's not going to kill them. Right. But if they do that a couple of times a year, or if they keep flip-flopping on their brand strategy, okay, these are really big mistakes. And I've never seen a company really truly successful when they do that kind of stuff.
Right. And I think that flip-flopping is key. Like, one's funny, one's serious, you know. They're like all over the place. Yeah, that's very confusing.
But you know, but what about the little stuff? Is there a correlation between allowing a handful of little mistakes, or, and when I say allow, I'm not saying consciously allow, I'm saying it was clearly a mistake.
Not paying attention. Right.
And them being successful, you know, is there a correlation?
Well, I think, I think just in a general sense, we can make that case, and we can make that case for anything in life. I mean, the more you pay attention to something, the more successful you're going to be. It's kind of like an exercise routine or a diet or whatever. If you diet, you know, or eat healthy like 4 days out of the week versus 7 days out of the week, you're going to be more or less successful. It's the same thing with your brand. I mean, just like anything else, the more you pay attention to it, the better it's going to be.
Right. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's all I have. Why don't you give us a wrap up, Amy?
Absolutely. So we know that our listeners are fantastic with their brand. But if you think you're struggling, you want to be better with your brand, you want to talk about this stuff more, if you have a specific problem you want to solve or want to chat about, give us a call. You know, we love to talk about this stuff. If you want to cop to a brand mistake you've made in the past and what challenges came from it, what happened and how you fixed it, we'd love to hear your story. We might even have you on a future episode. So you can get a hold of us at brandarchetypes.com and, of course, on all the social platforms at Brand Archetypes. You can find us there.
Awesome. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah. Yep. Have a good week, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.